Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Hey guys, I know we're all working so hard to stay fit and healthy at home. So check out my app. I have free daily 7-minute workouts. Download the app. It's Jillian Michaels Fitness app. Download it. Do the 7-minute workouts. You don't need any equipment. There's total body workouts, ab workouts, leg workouts. You get a new one every single day. And if you want more, obviously, there's a heck of a lot more in the app. There's over 1,000 different exercises. All of my DVD workouts are in the app. I can customize a workout for you in the app. There's freaking yoga, kickboxing, HIIT training, outdoor runs, bodyweight training, free weights. There are thousands of recipes, no matter what your diet preferences are. But at the very least, please do the 7-minute workouts for free.
Welcome to Keeping It Real, Conversations with Jillian Michaels. Hi, Jillian Michaels.
Oh, hi, Cindy. Oh, see, I stepped on you. That was so bad. I know, right? So we are going to be speaking with one of the top gastroenterologists in the world, a doctor by the name of Sabine Hazen. And she is the author of a book called Let's Talk Shit, which is a humorous, easy to digest, pun intended, guys, explanation of gastrointestinal disorders, treatments, and the next generation of hope for gut-related diseases. So think IBS, Crohn's, acid reflux, ulcers, all of that, gas, bloating. But what you're going to find is that the conversation we will be having today is really all about our microbiome, which I've touched upon in a variety of shows over the years. And I'll let Dr. Hazen explain in detail what your microbiome actually is, but you guys, I'm sure, have a rough understanding that it's the microbes living in your gut. And I think you'll be fascinated to learn how they impact everything from how we age to our immunity, to the health of our skin, not just our digestion, our cognitive function, our weight management and metabolism, and the list goes on and on. So I'm pretty darn excited to have her on the show today. She was not an easy get. She's a very busy woman, and she is currently redefining what I believe to be the future of medicine. However, Cindy has told me she has a question for me.
I do. Well, it's connected because it does have to do with pooping. It's a parenting question.
Ooh.
So,
God, you ask me. It's definitely not an expert in this. We should call someone.
I was torn because I saw on the sidewalk this weekend a family. we're walking back, and first thing I noticed was mom's in the lead on her cell phone. Little, I'd say, 3 or 4 year old, 4 year old daughter. And then dad pushing a carriage, also on his cell phone. So I was already watching this family thinking, oh man, they're walking right across an alley. Nobody's looking up.
But
No, and nothing bad happened. So their car's parked there.
I was like, I'm fragile.
Their car is parked there. And I see the mom take out a little potty. You know, one of those little seats that you put a bag underneath. And she sets it down on this, not the curb, but there's sort of a curb to somebody's garage. And this little girl pulls her little tights down to her ankles and sits on her potty. And, you know, people are walking by, walking dogs, walking down the alley. And then she pulls up her dress to her tummy, and her mom has to come over and sit next to her and rub her back, which I've heard of that, where you rub the child's back and it helps them go.
Okay.
But she must have been sitting there for like 5 minutes, and all I could think of was privacy. What if there's a pedophile walking by? I mean, because when she got up to, you know, pull up her pants, she was like hiked over with her ass in the air and pulling up her pants. And I thought, wait, is this fantastic? Because she's not going to be, she has no hangups about, I got to go to the bathroom, or is it like, I don't know. Is it careless, or was it just, please, it's hard enough?
I wonder, I've gotten to this place in my life where I think it's like all of the above. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you know, we could sit here and question, like when Lou was two, we used to let her run around naked on the beach without a diaper because she would get, the diaper would get wet, and which is, that's it. A diaper gets wet and you have a bomb going off. And then it would get sand in it and she would get a rash. So we were like, all right, whatever. And she couldn't just have it. So I thought about it and I was like, she's a baby. She doesn't know or care. And I can tell you that she's perfectly fine. That aspect of her life has not scarred her. There are many things I'm sure that have. that wasn't one of them. Now, she was two. I mean, I'm not a developmental expert, right? Like, is there a difference between one and two, two and three? I'm sure a therapist would have a far better answer than me. You know, then you have the element of like, okay, teaching them not to hold it, you know, but here's the other issue, because I got to give the mom this. You can't use a public restroom anymore. So now you've got that problem.
I mean, she wasn't near one. It wasn't. I think my question was, could they have done it in the car, though? Could they have in the, I thought it was a hatchback. It looked, then when I took another look, I was like, well, maybe it's a trunk. I don't know. It just,
I mean, I definitely think we can improve upon the strategy, right? Like maybe a towel. Where you kind of like give the kid a little privacy, you hold up a little towel, that's possible. The one thing I am trying never to do, even if I have a difference of opinion, is I find that even people I really admire are so quick to attack another person nowadays. And I've been guilty of that for sure. Someone you don't like, someone you don't agree with.
Well, I think that's what it made me think about was, you know, first I was protective of the child. And then I realized, what? The kid has to go and they're trying to potty train the kid. So you just go. And why? We're such a hung up society on bathroom things anyway. So I was, it was just, it made, no, it made
like
me
a little towel in your backpack to kind of give them some privacy.
Yeah.
But,
well,
I wouldn't judge them.
No.
Right. I'm not trying to judge them. Right. Let's put it that way.
And I wonder if I hadn't seen them on their cell phones while they were walking, if I would have just not even thought, I just thought that was so like, hey, they're not paying any attention to the kids that they're with. But for all I know, they were.
Yeah, but
they
here's the thing about the kids. You are with those little suckers so much of the time. That to a certain extent, you're like, okay, I gotta do this, or I gotta do that, or I gotta do, like I had Phoenix yesterday. And I do hate this about, this is very unfortunate about our family dynamic, is that when you have parents that are split, I think in some cases it definitely becomes every day is Disneyland for the kid when they're with her, or when they're with me. And I don't think that's good. But then you're like, well, I went fishing with mommy and then mommy took me to the batting cages and then mommy, you know, smeared me in chocolate and then mommy dipped me in whipped cream and then mommy gave me gold for breakfast. And you're like, uh-oh, you know what I mean? So yeah. So then yesterday, you know, I picked up my son. And it's like, okay, we're gonna go bowling and then we're gonna get sushi because he loves it. And it's like, I fall into the same traps that I wish I didn't. But, you know, you're like, okay, I'm on. I only get you half the time. I am on. I am in. Eyes on you. I am listening. Tell me your stories. Tell me this. Tell me that. Tell me that. Whereas I don't know if that's such a good thing. To a certain extent, I wish that it was like, no, we got to go grocery shopping today and you're going to go. The world does not revolve or orbit around your navel. Like,
well, also, I remember riding in the car as a family and, you know, in silence and looking out the window and daydreaming, which I keep reading is a wonderful thing for us to do, which we don't do enough of these days because of our cell phones and it's things. True. So it's true. You're right. It's the... If they get used to the constant...
Oh, Cindy, it's mama, 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 mama. He's nine. He's turning nine. And I mean, and it's funny, but in my mind, I'm like, this is actually probably not funny because he is not capable.
Mm.
Not a bad kid, a great kid, but I am not teaching him to be capable of sharing my attention at all. And it's a constant struggle. Where it's like, DeShanna's talking, and then like, and Lou does the same thing to him. They do the same thing to each other. So the cell phone thing, I don't know. Part of me is like, entertain yourself for a second. Like, and it's, well, it's definitely because Heidi and I are divorced. Yeah. If we were not, this would never, but this is part of the reason we are. Because I didn't agree with it when she did it. I was like, this is wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. And it was one of the top arguments, you know, just another one of our parenting arguments. And I was like, I don't agree with this. Whereas she's like attachment, connection, like obsession in the, you know, and I felt that it was like, no, we're not going to Disneyland every single day. That's, and now that I have them half the time and it's like, I find myself getting pulled into that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Cindy, it's like so hard and there's so many different factors and, you know, and it's like, and even DeShanna's like, babe, you know, like, this, I get that it's like not the easy thing to do and not the fun thing to do, but is it arguable that it's the better thing to do for him?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like my own fear and insecurity get caught up and it's just a mess. Well, who knows what these parents are going through? That's the problem.
Well,
it's
that's all, so and that's complex. Always something to take into consideration is you don't know. And if the option is potty training your child or don't, like, oh, we're out, slap a diaper on her, then maybe the best thing really is potty train the child, let the child
parents do it
learn.
I've heard about it all the time. I've heard, like, my friend Ashley talked about a guy who just put one right down on the subway platform.
Oh, wow. Well, there
my
you
only
go
question is then what are you doing with the pee and the poop though?
It goes into a bag and then like a diaper kind of a bag thing, then it
all right.
It's pretty right. pretty ingenious actually.
Gets flushed later. All right, that's cool. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
I mean, I hope it went into a bag. I wasn't that close.
Where the poop goes.
Speaking of poop.
Yeah. We will be right back. Oh, my God. The Dr. Sabine Hazen. Let's talk shit, Cindy. Team, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, we've all got things that get in our way, right? But if these things are stopping you from living your best life, it's time to get BetterHelp. It isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online and available worldwide. And they match you with a licensed professional therapist who fits your needs, and you can start communicating with them in less than 48 hours. BetterHelp is so committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to, and they even offer financial aid. Visit betterhelp.com/JillianMichaels. That's Better H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. The special offer for Keeping It Real listeners is 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/JillianMichaels. That's BetterHelp.com/JillianMichaels. I don't know about you guys, but I've been doing a lot of online shopping these days. So I was excited to find Ana Luisa. Their jewelry makes great gifts for loved ones and even for yourself with pieces that start at just $39. And one of my favorite things about them is that Ana Luisa offsets 100% of their carbon emissions from sourcing their raw materials to the disposal of their pieces. And they've also got limited batches to ensure the highest production standards while eliminating excessive waste. I mean, I love a company that believes in sustainability. And I also love my David bracelet. It's beautifully designed and just what I was looking for. So go treat yourself and your loved ones with some beautiful, sustainable jewelry. Just head to analuisa.com/Jillian and use my code Jillian to get 10% off. That's analuisa.com/Jillian, promo code Jillian. analuisa.com/Jillian, promo code Jillian. All right, we are back with Dr. Sabine Hazen, who is the author of Let's Talk Shit, one of the world's most renowned gastroenterologists. Doc, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so hold on a sec. As I was reading your bio, it says you are the creator of ProgenaBiome, a state-of-the-art genetic research sequencing laboratory with next-generation whole genome shotgun sequencing capabilities on site. And I'm not going to lie, Doc, I laughed out loud by the fact that you think people can understand what the hell that means. So I was like, isn't that cute? Look how cute.
I know. It was like, look, I'm making it so complex, so you have to read the book, because then the book kind of explains it into. So what is that? It's fancy terms for looking into your shit, basically, into the depth of your microbes. And that's what shotgun is. It's like you take a sample of your stools and you basically do a shotgun approach. Like you just randomly target an area and you go deep, like into a deep dive. And that's what I do. I dive into the microbiome to see the species of the microbiome that are altered. Forever, people, you know, have problems with digestive tracts, right? They have like bloating, and we've certainly heard of SIBO and, you know, ulcers, and it's all microbes, right? But what microbe is causing what?
Let's start with this.
Yes.
What's a gastroenterologist? Will you explain to our listeners what that is?
Well, a gastroenterologist is a doctor that specializes in digestive issues, like you're anywhere from the mouth all the way to the anal canal, so your digestive tract. I like to think of it as a gas specialist, thus gastroenterologist, so because most people come in complaining of gas to the GI doctor. So gas, constipation, diarrhea, reflux, heartburn, all your digestive problems is what is the specialty of gastroenterology. And that's now, so anything from the esophagus, stomach, small bowel, colon, gastroenterology. Yes.
Okay. What is microbiome?
Microbiome is all the microbes that are in your gut. So that's essentially what it is.
And Doc, that means solely in your gut then, right? Because you can have microbes on your skin, right?
So I specialize in the microbiome of the gut, right? Mm-hmm. But there is a microbe. I mean, microbes are everywhere. They're in the air all around us. They're on the skin. They're in the eyes. They're in the lungs. There's microbes everywhere. So the microbiome that I'm specializing in is really strictly in the colon, to look at specimens of, you know, microbes in the colon, because the colon is really your compost, right? So I'm going to bring it back to gardening, and you'll hear me talk a lot about gardening, because it's kind of, you know, our compost, what you're feeding your gut, you're feeding your bacteria. So in your gut. So imagine, remember that compost? You've done gardening, I'm sure.
Of course.
You're basically giving all the leftovers, the shells, the foods that have gotten rotten. So you're putting bacteria, and then you're feeding grass, green grass, right? And then you mulch all that. And then that process, the bacteria starts eating the grass. And then that beautiful dirt that you see is essentially the equivalent of what your stools is. So that's how you have to kind of think about it. So your compost is exactly like your colon. Your colon is there to just basically create this microbiome. So when you see, what are we using when we use fertilizer? It's really the cow's poop, right?
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So what are we using? You know, when you do, when you have gardening, and I was gardening yesterday, you know, you're using chicken poop, you're using cow poop, and you're fertilizing the dirt to create, you need the microbes to activate the process of nutrition for the trees and the plants to grow, etc. So it's fascinating.
Okay. Now, if I'm listening and I'm thinking like, okay, whatever, right? Like microbes in my gut, ew, gross. Can we address two things? I have heard multiple times that we have more microbial cells than we have human cells in our body at this, like as an adult. Is that, and there's a name for that? It's like, I don't remember, hollow or something like
that. It's correct. So 3/4 of your body is composed by microbes.
And when we talk about microbes, what exactly are we, know bacteria, right? We know probiotics, good bacteria, but also,
well,
what other
you
stuff?
Know, it's, so the concept of good bacteria, bad bacteria, and I say it in my book, is just a concept. There's no such thing as a good or bad bacteria. A good bacteria, for example, Clostridium difficile, right, which is a bacteria that we think is bad, is actually can also be considered a good bacteria, because if you've got enough of the Clostridium difficile in balance and it's not secreting a lot of toxins, and you've got a lot of other families of Clostridium, then those are actually good because you're in balance. So it's not really good or bad. It's really all about the balance. And so I call them agnostic bacteria in my book, because they're neither good or bad. Of course, there are bacteria that are, we like to think of them as giving us the immunity, right? That's why the whole push of probiotics. Right. However, you know, when you have so many of those good bacteria, that can also be a problem because you're out of balance. And so I always tell my patients, a lot of good bacteria, a lot of bad bacteria, if you're out of balance, that's still a problem.
Okay. So now I have read over the past year in particular, or watched crazy TED Talks about microbiome and how it influences so many different aspects of our health. I'll give you two studies, and I would just love for you to kind of elaborate on this concept of like how your microbiome can impact so much more than just digestion.
Right.
So I watched one TED Talk about how a researcher, forgive me if I get this wrong, but it was like several hundred years ago, had just begun to understand microbiome, and he noticed that individuals with a certain microbiome were immune to cholera.
Right.
And then he tested on himself, got very, very sick, and he was missing like a certain microbe. And I was thinking to myself, like, is this why potentially certain people have such a mild case of COVID? Could this be playing a role?
Bam.
Like, shut up.
You are right on the ball. By the way, that was the first research and clinical trial that I put out on clinicaltrials.gov was the microbiome and COVID-19. 100%. The data's coming. It's going to blow everybody's minds, because there is definitely a signature microbiome of people that have COVID and are asymptomatic versus people that have COVID and super sick. And once you see it, it's going to be as clear as daylight. That's why you cannot just think that, you know, we cannot compare two people, because we don't know what's in their gut. And why are certain young people dying and certain young people not dying? Because their guts were different. There was something in the gut. So you're right on target, and that was beautiful. And by the way, I was that guinea pig that kind of looked at my gut first, because I had the data, right? So I opened this genetic sequencing lab about 2.5 years ago, and I started looking at the microbiome and disease. And what I started noticing was, wow, autism has major dysbiosis, imbalance in the gut. Alzheimer's has major dysbiosis. why did I come to this interest? Because when I started my path, so I'm a GI doctor, I've done clinical trials. And when I do clinical trials, I'm known in the world of clinical trials for C. diff. C. diff has been my bug. I've been trying to kill that bug for 20 years. Wow. And I've tried every single treatment from pharma, you know, antibiotics after antibiotics, infusions, injections, nothing worked. And when C. diff, we couldn't fix it with pills or trials, I would put my patients through fecal transplant. What is fecal transplant?
Read about this years ago, and mate, you don't hate me, doc. We made fun of it on the podcast.
Yes, and believe me,
shit pills. I was like, come on. And now I'm like, oh my God.
Yes. And let me tell you what happened to me. 25 years ago, I was at a conference. I was presenting my research as a fellow in GI at University of Florida. And this fellow that was superior to me came to me like 2 years ahead of me and said, Sabine, let me show you the future. And he said, the future is in shit. And I said, Neil, if you're back. And by the way, Dr. Neil Stolman in San Francisco said that to me 25 years ago. And I said, and he showed me the data on C. diff because I was trying to kill it with clinical trials. And he said, the future is in fecal transplant for C. diff. So I said, Neil, if you make me play with poop, I'm out of this field. There is no way. They call me Gucci girl in the GI lab because if the colon is dirty, I'm out of there. I'm like, sorry, you didn't prep properly. Get out. I'm doing a repeat colonoscopy. So the thought of taking stools, putting it in a blender with some normal saline and infusing it in someone's colon was just atrocious to me. But. A couple decades.
I don't mean to laugh.
But it's true. But this is exactly what happened. So what happened is when I started doing clinical trials and I couldn't fix these patients with C. diff, I had to resort to something. And I felt bad because here they are trusting me, getting into a trial, and I'm not helping them. So I said, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet. And there was a physician who was my first patient who had C. diff, and he was dying. And I did my first fecal transplant. And lo and behold, I saved him. And so what happened was, you know, it's one of those things that it's like seeing, and Dr. Barodi, who's the pioneer of fecal transplant, will say, it's like seeing a Martian and saying, holy cow, there's life on Mars, right? So when you have a colon that's completely, you know, demolished, like ulcers and erosions and mucus, and then you put some poop in there and the colon becomes normal, you go, holy cow, what has happened, right? Now, it gets better. So I've been doing fecal transplant for years. And 6 years ago, a patient of mine was about to enter an Alzheimer's study, okay? And the patient comes in and he couldn't qualify for the Alzheimer's study. He was too sick. His mini mental status was 20. And so I said, I'm sorry, you can't qualify, but he developed C. diff. So I tried to treat him. He was 87 years old. I tried to treat him with different medications because I didn't want to do a colonoscopy and fecal transplant. I didn't know who the donor would be, etc. So I tried everything, even the most expensive drug, which was like $7,500. And basically, it didn't work. So what happened is I said, okay, you know what? This guy's lovely. I'm going to do fecal transplant. I'm going to use his wife. They've been married for 45 years. Not only did it fix his C. diff, but it also regained his memory and he started remembering his daughter's date of birth. His mini mental status went from 20 to 29. There's a score in the mini mental status where you're supposed to draw these squares and triangles. At the beginning, he could barely draw them. They were like two circles, okay? At the end, 6 months later, he was drawing two squares and a triangle. So those are the cases that you go, what the hell happened? What did I do? Right? So I started this path of wanting to understand the microbiome. And I started sending my stools to different, you know, the pre and post fecal transplant to different labs. And I basically got no good results. So that's when I opened ProgenaBiome because I went to Dr. Feingold, who wrote the book on anaerobic bacteria. And he had an interest in Alzheimer's and autism. And he basically said, you need to open a genetic sequencing lab and you'll see this microbe that I've been culturing for years. And there we are.
So we just touched on immunity, right?
Yes.
But I've also heard weight loss / metabolism, right?
Right.
I mean, skin, hair, nails, yes. everything. And you want to be careful in making these kinds of claims, but I've then heard people like yourself talk. I've read what I can understand of these studies you guys do, and then individuals like yourself break it down for me like you just did. But how many areas? So now you're talking about cognitive function,
right?
Weight loss, digestion. Right. Is there an aspect of health that microbiome does not impact?
Hippocrates said 2,500 years ago, all disease begins in the gut. And he was right. Life begins in the gut. Your immunity, when you're born as a baby, you're born with a lot of good bacteria. And when you die as an older person, you're dying with no good bacteria, loss of diversity. So the process of aging is even linked to your microbiome.
Hold that thought. We're going to get right back into this with Dr. Sabine Hazen, the author of Let's Talk Shit, the most incredible book. You have to read it, everyone. We'll be right back. All right, you guys know that I love science. And now I found a hair care company that actually uses science to give you a personalized hair care formula for your hair needs. Strands Hair Care tests your actual hair to create shampoo and conditioner that's formulated for you. So there's no more searching for the right product and wasting money on all the wrong ones. It's so easy. All I did was order the Strands starter set, answered some questions online, and sent a hair sample, a scalp test, and I even got to pick the fragrance I wanted from the test strips that came in the kit. I'm tracking the progress on their website, and their chemists have already listed the active ingredients they'll be using for my hair and environment. And I gotta say, it's pretty cool. Visit strandshaircare.com today to order your Strands starter set and use the code Jillian for 20% off a one-time purchase. That's strandshaircare.com, promo code Jillian. strandshaircare.com, promo code Jillian.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
We are back with one of the world's top gastroenterologists, Dr. Sabine Hazen, author of Let's Talk Shit, which I love the title more than anything, almost as much as I loved the book. Doc, you were just talking about aging and microbiome when I stopped you, so we could come back and start fresh, break free here. And you had mentioned, you know, we're born with all of these good bacteria. We die with pretty much none of them. So can we start from the beginning? Where does all this stuff come from to begin with? What do we do if you have a child and it's a C-section baby? Because I've heard things like you've got to do nasal swabs now of vaginal secretions for the baby. I've heard soil-based bacterias and food-based bacterias, environmental bacterias, indigenous human strains. Like, why are we falling apart? How do we stop falling apart? Obviously, I want everyone to read the book because there's a lot of answers there. But can you highlight that stuff for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, first of all, yes, C-section, we learned a lot from C-section. We learned that, you know, the flora, when the baby is born vaginally, there's an exposure to microbes that is essential to the immunity of the child. And now they're actually doing smear, even for C-section baby, they're smearing rectal swabs and vaginal swabs on the baby to improve that immunity. As gross as it is, this is what immunity is all about, right? So remember, if you keep a child in a classroom in a box, he's going to be having a lot of infections, but you bring them out into the dirt to play in the ground, in the grass, etc. They're improving their microbes and they're less prone to having infections. And that's the key, right? When you see people that are having a sterile life, when they go out into an environment that's non-sterile, like they go to India, for example, and they're used to their living in sterility, then they come back sick because they're not used to those microbes. Same thing when you go to Mexico, you start eating the foods in Mexico and you start having, you know, you're starting to get sick. You're not used to these microbes because you've been so sterile and you've been so sterile with your gut. The mistake that I see a lot of people doing is overdoing, overtreating. You have an infection right away, antibiotics. You go to the doctor, you get an antibiotics. You know, a lot of infections are virals, right? Viruses. So if you have a virus, why are you taking an antibiotic, which is an antibacteria? And that's the mistake. What you do is when you have a virus, you're taking an antibacterial, which kills off all your good microbes in your gut. So then, yes, you've survived the virus now, but then the next infection is going to be a lot harder for you and your immunity is going to be taking a dive. So overdoing it is bad. That's the first lesson. If you're healthy, you're born healthy, your kids are healthy, you don't have any digestive tract, why are you messing it up by taking on probiotics that are over the counter that you have no idea what's in those pills, right? So it's better to eat a yogurt, drink a glass of kefir milk, you know, more natural. I think we need to go back to basics, back to natural.
So if you wouldn't do probiotics, because like I live on probiotics, look at the strains. Like I will do my homework on the strains.
Yes.
So I take indigenous human strains because I'm like, okay, I can't eat it in yogurt. I won't get it in the environment. And I had a registered dietitian explain. So I was like, okay, these are the strains that I'm going to take. And they come with fiber. So it's like, would you say no?
So I wouldn't say no, but I would say make sure you know where it's coming from and where it's tested. I'm saying no to the over-the-counter. You know, it's like COVID hit and basically everybody's rushing to CVS to buy their vitamins, right?
Yeah.
I don't trust those vitamins. I don't know where they're made. I don't trust if they're contaminated. So, of course, I made my own vitamins because I was like paranoid about. Yeah. So know where your food comes from. Know where your probiotics are made and supervised. We tested randomly in our lab random probiotics that we thought were like good probiotics. And lo and behold, they weren't. And if you look at the data, 17 probiotics that were tested, 16 out of 17 did not even show the ingredients that was on the box. So you can't even trust it. Nobody's supervising that. That's a problem because we tend to think that's good for us, but actually what we're showing, and we're publishing a data right now that shows that these over-the-counter probiotics actually can demolish your good bacteria. So imagine you're taking something that you think
is helping.
If you're
taking 50 billion CFUs of Acidophilus,
and you don't need it because you've got 50 billion Acidophilus, now you're growing your Acidophilus.
Right.
So it's very important to be a minimalist and to not panic and not to feed into that whole, you know, marketing of all these pills.
Another study I read was about two identical twins.
Right.
And these two identical twins had a completely different insulin response to the exact same foods. And I was like, we can no longer say, oh, genetics, oh, hormones.
Nope.
Because, and while it might be genetics, it's got to be a matter of these microbial genetics impacting your genetic expression, right? Otherwise,
absolutely,
it doesn't make sense. They're genetically identical.
So
then how does one guy turn out awesome and the other guy's a complete mess?
So I'll give you an example, and it's a paper that I actually published where I took triplets and a mom, and I looked at their microbiome because I said to myself, triplets, one kid is autistic, the other two are normal. What happened, right? That's the magic, right? So I analyzed them and it came out that the one triplet accumulated twice of the bad bacteria that the mom had. So you could see it clearly. The two that were normal had a diverse microbiome, full of microbes, diverse, equal balance, etc. The triplet, 40% of his microbiome was the bacteria that the mother had 20% of. So you can imagine that probably what was happening in vitro while the babies were in the uterus is that two of them were eating the good microbes and fighting for the good microbes, and the third one got the crud twice. So when he was born, when she was born with a lot more microbes that affected most likely her autism. So what are we doing for this? And so
I was going to say, okay, so then
so how in you, this yeah. case, what I'm doing is I fecal transplant. You take one of the donors, that is one of the triplets, stools, and you implant it into the third donor. And basically that's the protocol we submitted to the FDA. We got approved to do one case already, but we're going to be approved to do 30 patients because my idea is if in the family you have kids that are normal and one kid that is not normal and you see the microbiome, microbiome is totally diverse in one kid and not diverse in another, let's transplant that into the other kid. And because they come from the same family, that will be a lot better, in my opinion, than using microbiome from, you know, Zimbabwe, for example, you know, that doesn't really match different microbes, etc.
Okay.
So that's the field we're entering.
So is it possible to believe that I have a child who's autistic? I have acid reflux. I have Alzheimer's. I have a weakened immunity. That instead of treating these things with drugs, is the future treating these things with microbes?
So that's the future, but I'm hoping, and that's why I created ProgenaBiome, I'm hoping to guide the future, to guide pharmaceutical companies to not just put fecal material of one person into a capsule, but to precise, to have a precision method. In other words, these are the microbes that are absent in this one person. Let's readjust those microbes to create health. That's the future that I'm hoping is going to happen to guide pharmaceutical companies, because a future of fecal material in a capsule is not pleasant for anybody and nobody would trust it. And it actually puts pharma at a different level of really selling shit in medications. So I'm, you know, I've been working with pharmaceutical companies for, you know, 25 years. So I'm hoping that I can, because of my experience with them and my work with them, they trust me because I've helped them put products to market, that they can see where I'm going and bring this new technology, this new microbiome therapies into market. And so we're starting with familial because we have to see the data. In my opinion, if a kid that is autistic is starting to speak and neurotypical after you have done fecal transplant using a sibling, then that opens the doors for so many other doctors to start doing all that. Same thing with Alzheimer's, same thing with Parkinson's. So that's really the future. And you know, we need to understand it better.
Doc, you're talking about when you're doing fecal transplants, you're putting these microbes into the colon. So right. You're not so is that how this needs to be done? So to a certain extent, now I am wondering simply about, like, I don't do that with my probiotics. I swallow right. them. And I've heard, like, oh, well, you don't know that if they get through the stomach acid.
Exactly.
It's a special enteric coating on the, right. Is it effective at all? Because we are eating yogurt and fermented foods. Is some of it getting in that way? And we are breathing the air outside the soil and what have you.
So
or
I'm
is that just the best way?
Yes. No. So you're absolutely right. It's a, you don't know. And again, you don't know where it ends up. You don't know where those microbes terminate. For all you know, they could end up in the small bowel where they weren't supposed to be there. They could be destroyed by the stomach and therefore potentially causing more harm to the colonic bacteria than good. We're working actually with a new technology, which is a capsule that delivers all the way to the cecum. That's the future. But first we need to understand, is it really working? Is this a future that is feasible, or are these like just, you know, miracles, you know, a patient remembering his daughter's birthday? I'll tell you, the case for me that kind of woke me up to all this was my friend Colleen Kelly, who basically published in the American College of Gastro, and you're welcome to, I'll send it to you so you can publish that. A patient, two patients with alopecia areata, bald, okay? And she did fecal transplant on both of them with C. diff, and both of them grew hair. What grows hair, right? Now, this was not reproduced by other doctors. These were two incidental cases, which makes you wonder, well, maybe the donor selection was very important in that. Because maybe the donor had like a full set of hair and a lot of microbes that are basically your hair, right? So that's what we have to look at it. Because when we try, what we've all seen, so I created this website called the Biome Squad, and it's a league of fecal transplant doctors like me who have all seen these miracles. You know, Dr. Sahil Khanna at Mayo Clinic saw chronic urinary tract infection improves with fecal transplant. Mimi Wang at MD Anderson saw melanoma, you know, chemotherapy patients given fecal transplant improving. Myself, I had a patient with metastatic mesothelioma, which basically I did fecal transplant using the grandson's poop. And the woman ended up having her appetite back. She lived an extra 16 months, which normally she wouldn't have. Was really rapidly dropping, but she needed continuous fecal transplant. This was an experimental one-time episode. And the problem is, you know, there's no funding for this kind of individualized medicine because there is no product. So we as the Biome Squad have to resort to being strategic. Well, you know, let's do this study and then let's get some of the funds from that study and put it into my research, right? Or let's sell vitamins and then put it into my research. Or let's write the book, let's talk shit and bring it to my research. We have to be strategic to bring in the money to support this mission because all of it is costly. You know, the fecal transplant for autistic children, you know, ended up costing close to $100,000 of paperwork and submissions. Who's going to pay for that, you know?
Oh, my God.
But, you know, I took on the dive. Because I felt this was my job, my duty to see, to understand the microbiome. To me, I didn't want to wake up at 70 years old with Parkinson's and say, I coulda, shoulda, woulda. I should have figured it out when I had an opportunity to understand the microbiome at 50. Instead, I'm waiting till 70 for someone to save me. Good luck. You know, so that's why I stepped into this, you know, partly selfish reason myself, because I know I'm going old and I want to know, you know, I don't want to have Alzheimer's. And by the way, the first thing I did when I started this whole mission is I took my, at the time, 13-year-old, now she's 17-year-old's poop, and I store it in a freezer minus 80. So I got to tell you, that's my goal. If the freezer goes crazy, if the freezer breaks, I'm like, bring the freezer. Emergency. Okay.
My kids are adopted. That doesn't work for me then, does it?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because families that live together tend to start mimicking each other. You start having this mixture. Like my husband and I, we've been married too many years and we've been together like 29 practically. And I will say that, you know, his microbiome is very similar to mine. And yet, his family comes from Ukraine and Germany and Poland. And mine is like, you know, Spanish, etc. So completely different microbiome that we were born with from our parents. But somehow being together, we kind of started being similar. So there is a family portrait. You'll be surprised that when you look at your kids, even though they're adopted, they're very similar to you. And you're very similar to them. So you probably got things from them, you know, being together. You kissed them. There was a study that actually said that if you mix the microbiome of the skin with young kids, you kind of like stay living longer. So I take my kid and I just rub my face.
I'm actually going to do that. That's what's so scary. I'm listening to the show, right?
Yes.
Me, as the individual who's lucky enough to be interviewing you, I'm thinking, I want to go to you and I'm not unhealthy. Just so you could give me an idea of like, well, you're off here. Watch out for this. Oh, this, you could be prone to this. I want to send my girlfriend to you because she has acid reflux issues. Cindy has acid reflux issues. I have a friend with an autistic kid. My son has digestive problems. I imagine if I have an entire community of people I would want to send to you for a variety of health issues, so would everybody listening. So can they get what they need from your book, Let's Talk Shit, or do we all need to come to you?
So I think the book is the first step, right? Because it's kind of like learning about biology and buying the book Biology 101, right? So the book gives you kind of a basic of what digestion is all about. What is the microbiome? What is fecal transplant? What is your, who's your best donor? Who's this? And actually, I gave my book to all my GI doctors that are on the biome squad, and they all gave it thumbs up. So that was my peer review, because when you're criticized by your peers, you know, and they say you're full of shit, that's not a good thing to be. So my peers love the book. Neil Stolman, who started me on this field, loved the book. So that was kind of the beginning. So the book is the beginning. It's the basis. I have a bunch of protocols that are on clinicaltrials.gov, and anybody can like look up my name and see if a protocol can fit them. But essentially, my work is not, is obviously outside the box and outside the guidelines of medicine. It's in the research research space. So anybody that has abdominal pain and sees that I have a study, for example, eosinophilic gastritis, well, may want to join my study to see if they have this condition. And that's how people come to me and see me. It's really joining one of my clinical trials. Right now we have 42 clinical trials on the microbiome and disease. We're trying to raise funds as well. That's why I created a microbiome research foundation to raise the money to support all these trials, you know, for microbiome and Lyme disease. We want to look at what is the microbiome in patients that have Lyme disease? What is the microbiome of people with autism, Crohn's disease, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS, anxiety? I'm working with a doctor from UCLA, and we're looking at a specific formula that causes anxiety. So these are the things that, it's all research. Until we say to the FDA, look, we have 1,000 patients with autism. This is the formula for autism. Can you let us put it to market as a consumer product? Then the FDA will let us, and that's where we're going. But right now, we're all in the research process. What I'm saying is all research. It's my hypothesis. Obviously, I have to prove it. We're in a time where in 1980, the rate of autism was 1 in 2,000. Now in New Jersey, it's 1 in 20. So something is happening to the microbiome. And when you look at the Amazon jungle, or when you look at Central Africa, their microbiome is what the microbiome of humanity was, you know, 100 years ago. So what are we doing that has damaged our microbiome, and how do we go back? And we need to preserve that and go back and calm down a little bit the push of just putting Band-Aids after Band-Aids after Band-Aids.
And that is a perfect opportunity for me to tell everybody to read the book Let's Talk Shit by Dr. Sabine Hazen. And from there, like you said, they can, if you know, that will tell us what to do and what not to do to cultivate the healthiest microbiome possible. And then if there are specific conditions, Doc, where do they go to find you and potentially maybe be a part of your clinical research? Is there, or can I guide them to you? Or are you just like,
yeah, so
busy
So ProGenobiome, we have all our, you know, clinical trials that are on there. There's a contact on the progenobiome.com website. And I think we did a pretty good job at putting everything on there, from the publications to the research to everything. So just on progenobiome.com, they can find me and they should just send us an email.
And we'll have that in the show notes, everybody. Read the book, Let's Talk Shit. It's going to blow your mind. Doc, you're amazing. I cannot thank you enough for your time. The work you're doing is truly incredible. And thank you for bringing all of these pieces to the puzzle together for us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Doc, thank you so much. You're fantastic.
My pleasure.
All right, guys, we want you to subscribe to the podcast so you can stay up to date with our life-changing and life-saving information. So on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening,
click that subscribe button.
Jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.